We got five main verses that we hope to cover. God is so good. Just give the Lord some praise. Father God, we love you. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for your goodness. Oh, he's so good. I just want to invite everyone over to Sister Claudia's house later. No, I'm playing. I just want to invite everybody, seriously, just lay your burdens down. Any fears, any regrets, whatever's going on in your world, just give them to Jesus. Let him begin to heal your heart this morning. God wants to do so much in this church, and God's going to have his way in this church. Amen. We are a blessed people. Whatever you're going through, listen to this real fast. Whatever you're going through, I know some of you guys are got some crazy diagnoses and stuff like that. And David's not here. I believe he's up at the hospital. Miss Brenda had to take him to the hospital. He's going through quite a lot. He's got a mass in his lungs that seems to be growing very largely, very fast. So we want to pray for them. But God has peace for us. Do you hear what I just said? God has peace for us. No matter what you're going through, I want you to think about the fact that God is in control. God is in control of your life. God loves you with an undying love, and he is faithful. And if he has asked you to go down this road, whatever it might be, he's not going to leave you or forsake you. Amen? And I know as I look through the crowd, and some of you guys, I think about you on a daily basis because my heart just aches for what you have been through. But just let me throw this out here and just grab a hold of it, man. God loves you so much, and he is faithful, and he's in the healing business. If you're looking at your life and you're thinking, I don't know when I can return to any type of normalcy or even what that would look like right now. I'm just kind of treading water, dazed and confused. God is the answer. Jesus is the answer. So don't give up on him. And I promise you, he will never leave you or forsake you. So one more time, give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. John 13:1-5. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your will being done in this service, Lord. Thank you for your anointing. Let us leave here changed, Lord God. Let us leave here loving one another. Let us leave here encouraged and excited to go out and do what you have called us to do. Thank you for healing our hearts, healing our hurts, healing our bodies, healing our rejections, Lord. We love you and we praise you. And everybody in the church said, amen. Thank you, Jesus. God is so good. Amen. So we're getting close. Go ahead. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We're getting closer to the cross. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Jesus already making his triumphal entry. And now he is literally in the last few hours before he is betrayed and arrested. Okay, now Jesus knows full well what awaits him. Okay, and as we look at this first verse, just pay a little attention to what's going on in Jesus' world and what he decides to do. Well, let me read the verse. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father. Okay, so look at that real fast on the monitor and think about what that means. That doesn't just mean that he's just going to disappear and enter right to the right hand of God up in heaven. That's not what this looks like at all. He knows that in just a very short amount of time, one of his bros, someone who he loves dearly, is going to betray him. He already knows what's in the man's heart. He knows about being arrested. He knows what is ahead for him. Matter of fact, look with me at Philippians 2:6-8, just a tiny little tiny bit of what is awaiting the Messiah and what he knows he is fully aware of what is right around the corner for him. Philippians 2:6, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Surely everybody in this church understands that by now, that Jesus Christ wasn't just some great teacher. He wasn't just some prophet, okay? He is the firstborn son. He is the only begotten son. He is the second man of the Trinity. He is the Messiah, amen? He is God in human flesh. Do you understand that? You know what I mean? This is that baby that was born in a manger, and this is what it was all about. He knew that this was waiting for him, and he said, should I pray that this doesn't happen? No, this is what I'm here for. This is what I came to do. Okay, who though he was in the form of God did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped? He was God, okay? He is God. But this is what he did for us, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. So we're going to see in our verses this morning, we're going to see a little bit of what that servanthood looks like, okay? But emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Now look at verse 8. This is a big one. And being found in human form, he humbled himself. And we're talking about that today as well. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You can even underline that in your neighbor's Bible if you want to. Even death on a cross. This wasn't some quick execution. This wasn't some off with your head type moment. This was an agonizing, extremely embarrassing, it was meant to embarrass and humiliate you, death that he was facing. And he knew that this was happening. He knew this was about to happen. So let's go back to our text, John 13, verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart of this world to the Father, he knew what was about to happen to him. Having loved his own, talking about his disciples, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them till the end. Now, if there was ever a moment in the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, and I believe we would all give him a hall pass on this one, you know, it doesn't matter if you would or not, he's the Messiah. But, you know, if there was ever a time in his earthly ministry when he could be like, you know what, guys, I just need a little me time. I need to be alone. And he had all this on his shoulders, you know. He had all this on his shoulders. But he still showed his love and commitment till the very end to his 12 disciples. And look at verse 2. Okay, verse 2. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Okay, put that on top of it. Not only is he about to go to a Roman cross, not only is he about to be paraded through the street naked, not only is he going to be flogged and crown of thorns and all this stuff, but his buddy, man, his friend, his compadre was going to betray him. And he knew, he was in the same room with this guy, and he knew what he was thinking, and he still says, the scripture still says, I love these guys until the very end. Isn't that amazing? Okay, let me say it like this. Is there anything we could glean from that? You know what I mean? If you're familiar with the text that we just read, you know that Jesus is about to wash these guys' feet. He's about to do that. And it's not just, you know, Peter, James, and John, but Judas is right there in the mix as well. He knows this guy. He knows what's going on. And keep in mind, Judas knew Jesus too. Imagine the times that they shared together over these 3 years. Knew what kind of food Jesus liked, you know. And just imagine this brotherhood that these guys had. Moving forward, during supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Verse 3, this is very important, and we're going to camp on this for a second. So everybody just give me your attention. Verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God. Verse 3 is very important because what we got going on here is Jesus saying, I know who I am, man. I know who I am. I know the authority that I have. I know where I come from. I know where I'm going. I'm putting all my trust in God the Father. I'm putting all my trust in God the Father. Amen. Okay, and so there's a lot that we can learn about that. We're going to get to that in a second. But look at what Jesus knows. Like I said, I know I'm kind of beating this into the ground, but I want us to kind of get into this mode of understanding what's going on in this world right now, where he literally knows that the agonizing pain that awaits him, the betrayal, and the sins of all humanity being placed on him. I mean, can you imagine? No, we can't even begin to imagine what that would feel like. Thank God for the Messiah. Give the Lord some praise. Jesus, knowing the Father had given all things into his hands, Jesus knew very well of his authority. He knew of his divinity. He knew that he was the Son of God. Okay, he knew that, and he knew where he had come from. He knew that, man, he came from heaven, and he knew where he was going. After this, after he fulfilled what was given to him by the Father, he knew that he would be seated at the right hand of the Father. He knew who he was. He knew who he was, he knew where he came from, and he knew where he was going. Amen? So let's look at that briefly. Let's go to the next slide. I know it's Easter time, but there's such a big lesson here for us to learn. If we look at that verse, verse 3, again, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. Okay, let's look at that real fast, that top part of that verse. Jesus knew who he was. Jesus knew the authority. He knew he was God in the flesh. And I want to invite all you guys to think about, do you know who you are? Listen to me. Do you know who you are in Christ? Do you know that you're a new creation in Christ? You're not that same person anymore, okay? And the authority that you have as a child of the Most High God. Not everybody's a child of the Lord's. Not everybody is. You have to have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you haven't made that decision, you need to do it today. But anyways, moving forward. Do you know who you are? Well, I'm a child of the Most High God. Jesus knew who he was. And so if you know who you are, you know where you come from, you know where you're going, it's a lot easier to put your trust in the Lord and say, I will be obedient to this, whatever this is, to this difficult obedience that I don't really want to do, okay? But I know where I come from. I know where I come from. I know who I am. Let's look at that. And that he had come from God. So look at Philippians 4, verse 13. Everybody knows it. But if I know who I am, this verse should mean a lot to me. Okay, I can do all things through him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Think about that, church people. Think about that. When God has allowed you to be in a situation, when you're facing the Red Sea and the Egyptian army is behind you, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God is with me. Amen. Does that make sense this morning? When God asks me to do something in his word, he will equip me to do it. So what it boils down to, and this is the truth, man, you know, what it boils down to is do I want to do what God's called me to do? Do I want to be obedient to God's word? Because he says, I'll strengthen you. I can do all things through Christ. Amen? We got to know who we are in Christ. Amen? We got to know that, okay? Know the authority that I have as a son of the Most High God. You know, Satan can't do anything he wants to do, okay? Satan's a defeated foe, but he's acting like he's not a defeated foe. Amen? He's kicking and screaming, and he's lying to each and every one of us. You know how Satan gets to work in the world today? By whispering to us, you know, by getting us to doubt, by getting us to do stupid things. We have the authority in the situation. Did you hear what I said? We have the authority. What I'm trying to say is we can resist the devil. We don't have to give in to him. We can resist the devil, and he's got to flee. Like I'm saying, we got to know who we are, okay, just like Jesus knew who he was. So he said, okay, I'm going through this. I'm going all the way. Amen. And then he had come from God, part C. Never mind, that's my notes. You don't even need to worry about that. Everybody just relax. And somebody said, calm down. Be cool, man. I get riled up, you know this. Okay, and he knew, what are we doing? And that he, okay. Jesus knew who he was, and he knew that he had come from God. In other words, he knew his past. Okay, now, this is a little different for us, but this is what's going on here for me and for you. Okay, Jesus' past, an eternity past, was with the Father up until this, you know, forever and ever and ever. Okay, so he knew where he had come from. Okay, now I'm just telling us that we need to know where we had come from too. Okay, it's a little bit different than Jesus Christ. But what helps me so much, and it'll help you too, if you look back on your life and not be burdened or held back by the icky, crazy, creepy things that are part of the old you, but just remember where you had come from. Remember what you left behind. In other words, remember what you were taken out of. Does that make sense? Think about that we have been delivered from so much. Okay, I'll just put it to you like this. We get to live forever, man. How about them apples, huh? Huh? How about that? We get to live forever. Give the Lord some praise. So, you know, like Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's all of us. We've all broken God's law. That's a big, big problem. Okay, we were dead men walking. We were on our way to hell. Okay, I know where I come from. I know what I've been delivered from. I know what I've been saved from. John 5 and verse 24, look at this. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment. That's you. If you've accepted Christ, you're not going to come into judgment. He does not come into judgment. But look at this. But has passed from death to life, but has passed from death to life. That's what happened to you. That's our past. We were dead in our sins. We were on our way to hell. Okay, now that should put a fire underneath our feet. Amen. When the good book says, hey, Pauly, this is what I need you to do here. This is what we got going on. I don't want to. Well, look at this. Look at what's been done for you, Chief. You know what I mean? So Jesus knew who he was. He knew he was divine. He knew his authority. He was putting all his trust in God the Father. Okay, he knew where he'd come from and he knew where he was going. He knew what was waiting for him on the other side of the cross. He knew that with the joy. He knew that he had to go through this. He knew where he was heading. He knew he was heading for the right hand of the Most High God. He knew that place where he was going back to. And so that also should encourage us as well, Brother Dalton. That should also encourage us as well. You know, the fact that I know where I'm going, man. I know if I don't make it home today, don't cry for me, Argentina. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna be all right. You know, and do cry a little bit, I guess. Cry a lot. Let it ruin like your week. 2 days, 3 days tops. Just like, man, never mind. No, but we gotta know where we're going, man, and that helps us be obedient too. Hey, man, I know that this road right here can be a little tough and pretty unfair and not that fun sometimes, man. You know, but see, here's the deal. I want to be obedient to the Lord, all right? And I want to understand that at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, I'm going to be in the presence of my Lord and Savior for all eternity. Matter of fact, look at Philippians 1:23 right here on your monitor or bulletin. Now, this is the Apostle Paul talking about where he was heading, same place Jesus was heading, and guess what? Same place, if you're saved, if you've accepted Christ, same place you are heading. And this is what he says, like, man, I love you guys. I would like to stay. It'd be good for you guys, the church folk, the churches that he had started, and all that stuff. Like, it'd be great. It would be super good for you guys if I stayed around, but it would be good, really, really good for me if I just went on and went to be with the Lord. So Philippians 1:23. I am hard pressed between the two, between staying here or going up into heaven. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ. Look at this. For that is far better. For that is far better. Man, that's super cool, right? If you're listening, and I know you are, that is super awesome. That is waiting for all of us. Something that is far better than we can ever imagine. No more tears, no more suffering. Jesus is going to wipe all them tears away. The only tears you're going to have are happy tears. Give the Lord some praise. Amen. You're going to have perspective like never before. Things are going to make sense like never before. So having said this, we look at, I know who I am. Man, I'm a son of the Most High God. I am royalty. I'm no better than anybody else, but I've been grafted into that family. Amen. And I have authority through Christ. I can do all things through Christ so I can be obedient. I know where I come from. I know what I've been delivered from. And I know where my ultimate goal is. I know where I'm going. So I can do this thing. Just like Jesus, he knew these things about himself. Let's go to slide 3. Is everybody okay? he rose from supper, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Okay, so this is just getting crazy. I mean, what he's doing is he's showing his commitment to these guys. He's showing his love for them. Okay, so here's the deal. Here's the skinny. Here's the 411. That's what the kids say, 411. Okay, so they're having the Last Supper. They're having this meal. And what was customary back then is as you would come into somebody's place or residence, they would have a basin or water, some water out there, and the bottom of the line servant would wash your guest's feet. If they had a Gentile servant, they would have the Gentile servant do it. But they would have the lowest guy on the totem pole wash the visitor's feet. It was a customary thing to do. The roads were nasty and dry, and they were wearing sandals. Their feet would just be horribly nasty. Look at your neighbor and say, their feet would just be horribly nasty. Okay, so look, there's a few things. Well, there's like countless things that we can learn from this washing of the disciples' feet. But because of time, I picked out 28. Or three or four, whatever. Washing the feet shows Jesus' humility, obviously. The humility of the Son of God. Remember, he humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. Okay? And he's, during these last moments, these last hours, he's showing, he's got another teaching moment. He said, I'm going to sow into these guys' lives. I'm going to show these guys what it's really all about here. And this will make sense to them down the road. But it shows his humility. Now look at Luke 22 and verse 24. We got it right here on your monitor. Luke 22 and verse 24. This is the disciples. This is also the Last Supper, but this is in Luke's gospel. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. Isn't that strange? Okay, so here's the Last Supper going on, and they're griping about, I'm not going to betray him. Who's going to betray him? You're going to betray him? Who's going to betray him? I'm not going to betray him. And they begin to grumble and argue about, well, who's the greatest? That is just so strange to me. And Jesus is right there. And so some of the commentaries that I've been reading said, and I'm not saying this is gospel, but it does kind of make sense, so that what if nobody wanted to wash anybody's feet? You know, I'm not going to do it. You do it. Peter, you do it. You're the fisherman. You do it. You know, but nobody wanted to do it. Well, we don't know that's for sure, but we do know this as a gospel fact. In Jesus' presence, these 12 guys were arguing, and this is pre-filling of the Holy Spirit. So thank you so much, right, for the Holy Spirit in all of our lives, right? Thank you so much, Jesus. But they're arguing, I'm the greatest. No, I'm the greatest. It's like a Cassius Clay conference. I'm pretty. That's an old joke. I did that years before. But it works. But listen, it shows Jesus' humility. Servants of God, children of God, we are to be humble. That's something that we have to do ourselves, okay? We don't have to fight to be prideful. And you can say, I'm not prideful. I get it. I understand it. But that in itself is kind of a prideful statement, right? We have to work at being humble. That's something we got to do all the time, okay? And Jesus models that for us. I'm the greatest. No, I'm the greatest. Jesus gets up, takes off his clothes, takes the towel, starts washing his disciples' feet. This nasty, nasty job. Jesus said, I'm not too good for this. Matter of fact, he's about to show him what he's willing to do in a couple days when he goes to the cross. Can I get a witness? Luke 22 and verse 26, talking about that humility. But not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves. You hear that? You hear that? God says, you are my children, but you're servants of the Most High God. Okay, Don't think about your high and lofty place. Don't think about that, but think about what's been done for you and understand if the master can do something like this, then certainly there's nothing too low or too messy for me to do for the kingdom of God, no matter what that might be, even if nobody pats you on the back or even if nobody notices. And I hope that's not true, but I know this: God knows and God is thankful. Washing the feet shows God's or Jesus's servanthood. We have been called to be servants. Amen. John 13, 14, and 15. This is John 13, 14, and 15. This is actually after he washes their feet. And so he gives them these closing learning comments, this learning moment. Okay, guys, this is what this is all about, what we just did here with the washing of the feet. John 13, 14, and 15. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. See, if I'm willing to do this, and I'm your Lord and teacher, then don't you think you should be willing to do this? Don't you think that there's no job too big or too small? You know what I mean? And sometimes the big things, you know, where we are going to be kind of in the spotlight, so, you know, so to speak, whatever, those are the scary times. I'm like, I just would rather serve in the background. Well, that's cool too. But if God's called you to do something, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know what I've been delivered from, and I know where I'm going, man. And if he's called me to do this, then I'm going to walk through that door. Can I get a witness? If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. 15, for I have given you an example. Look, guys, I have given you an example. I just did this. I just washed all your nasty feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. So the washing of the feet, what does it show? It shows the humility of Christ. It shows the servanthood of Christ. And then also, in a big picture, it shows the forgiveness of sin, doesn't it? I mean, think about the whole thing, what's going on here, you know? Okay, matter of fact, look at John 13 and verse 8. Let's go to the next slide. John 13 and verse 8. How's them new fancy monitors treating you? Pretty spiffy. The people from First Baptist are coming down to take pictures. No, they're not. I don't know why he's, why does he say that sort of thing? Okay, John 13 and verse 8. This shows, the washing of the feet shows the washing away of sin. John 13 and 8. Peter said to him, okay, so here's what's going on. Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. He gets to Peter, and Peter's like, no, you are not washing my feet. You can't do that. And then this is what Jesus says, another teaching moment. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. And I get that. I get that. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. But listen to what Jesus says. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Think about that. So the washing of the feet shows humility. It shows his servanthood, but it also shows the redemptive work that he's going to do at the cross. That if we do not let Jesus Christ wash our sins away, you are doomed to eternity. You are doomed to hell for all eternity. That's just how it works. He's not sending you there. You're sending yourself there if you don't take that precious gift that he has offered you. For the wages of sin is death, right? But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Without Jesus, there is no salvation. There is no eternity with the Father without Jesus. There's no other way to be saved except through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ did the heavy lifting. He did the hard work. All we got to do is say, you know what? I'm a sinner. I've messed this thing up. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. You died for my sins and you rose from the dead. I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. You say that and you mean it, then you're in the family. Amen? Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, if I don't wash you, people in this church, if I don't wash you, you have no share with me. We got to be saved. It's not about being born into anything. That doesn't work. It's not about being super hip or cool. And you guys are super hip and cool, but it's not about that. Nobody can get in except through Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Looking to Jesus. That sounded kind of preachery, didn't it? Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Look. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Talking about why he went to that cross. He went to that cross. He said, he looked through to the other side of that cross. So whatever you're facing, I got to go through this, okay? If God doesn't let me go around it, I got to go through this. I'm facing the Red Sea. God will make a way. Amen. God, you hear what I said? God will make a way. He already made a way for my salvation. That for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He was looking to the other side of the cross, and he saw the salvation of humanity. He said, this is going to be a good thing. I'm going to drink of this cup. Okay. Despising the shame and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So it shows the washing of the feet, obviously shows humility, servanthood, and the forgiveness of sin. And you know what else that kind of jumped out at me? It shows his compassion and his love for his enemy, for his enemies. And think about that. Like I said, he knew what Judas was doing. He knew all about it. Matter of fact, look at John 13, 10 and 11, and we're almost done. If you want to go warm up the cars, it's cold out there. Get the defroster going. John 13 and verse 10. Jesus said to him, still talking to Peter. Peter was like, okay, well, if you're going to wash my feet, just give me a bath, man. Give me a bath. It's like, Peter, calm down. You're missing it, dude, all right? Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet. That's what was going on. That was customary. But is completely clean. Let me do that again. Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean. And you, Peter, are clean, but not every one of you. You imagine being in that group? Jesus has just washed your feet, or he's just about to wash your feet, and he's talking to Peter, and he says, Peter, if you don't let me wash you, we're not together, man, okay? You have no part of this. But you're clean. But somebody in here ain't clean. Somebody in here. And you know what this was, man? This was another opportunity. Think about it. This was another opportunity for Judas to say, hey, you know what, I can't do it. I'm sorry, I can't do it. I'm not doing it. It was a chance to repent. It was a chance to do an about face. Judas did not have to do it. A Bible prophecy would have been fulfilled one way or another. Somebody would have picked it up. But it didn't have to be Judas. It didn't have to be. So he shows his love for Judas, and I believe he's going to show him his love again when Judas comes up to him in the garden and he says, "Do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? Are you sure you want to do this?" You know, think about it. He's showing his love and compassion towards his enemy. Okay, so here we go, talking about that tough obedience again. Think about it. Maybe somebody's wronged you. Maybe somebody's really, really hurt you. Okay? I'm not saying that hasn't happened. But look at what Jesus, okay, well, the good book says, as long as it depends on you, live at peace with all people. Okay? I want to be obedient to the Lord, so I want to try and keep the peace. I can't help what other people think about me. I can't help what people talk about me. I can't help none of that. Okay? I can only take care of what I am going to do. See, that's some deep, awesome oratory work or whatever. Is everybody cool? Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, not all of you are clean. He was giving Peter another opportunity. The other cat, what's his name? Judas. You guys are listening. That's awesome. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. We see him extending that to Judas. You don't have to go through with this, man. You don't have to do this. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. See that? For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. Not just the church folks, but the people that want to kill church folks. Not just the church folks, but the people that have killed their babies. Not just the church folk, but the people that are looking at dirty pictures, that have impure thoughts. You know what I'm saying? But you know what? All that can be taking place right here with all of us. You know, we're all messy people, right? There's all things that we can repent of, that we should repent of, that aren't pleasing to God. Can I get a witness? Okay. So this is what I want to do now, man. If anybody in here, and don't get mad at me for asking people to come to Jesus, and I know y'all never would, if you have not made that decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want to do that, I want you to repeat this prayer after me and mean it. If you don't mean it, you don't have to repeat it. But if you want to become part of the family, if you want to have your eternity secure, then say this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I have broken your law. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins and be my Lord and Savior. I repent of all my wrongdoings, and I will serve you for the rest of my days. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So if you prayed that and you meant it, welcome to the family. You're now saved. You now get to go to heaven. So that's good news, y'all. But this is what you need to do. You need to read your Bible as much as you can. You need to pray. You need to talk to God as much as you can. You need to get involved in a church. Go to a Bible-believing church. And if you don't have one, this one will do. But I love you guys. And I want everyone to know that I love them. And let's get prepared this next week. Let's get excited. Adriana and her...